FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz, and well, I'm with Mickey Fulp. We're here at PDAC, but we wanted to get in Mickey's monthly major market review, and especially in light of everything that happened on Friday. Mickey, it's great to meet up with you here.
It certainly is, Carrie, and what a week it was.
Yeah, well,
or a month it was.
Well, it was really, the month was going great, and then the week happened. We should talk first before we get into the markets here about the panic over the coronavirus, and supposedly it's being billed by the media as the latest form of Black Death. We need to debunk this a bit.
Well, I think we certainly do. It's a version of the flu. We'll see how it spreads throughout the world. I think there's no doubt that it will. So far, it's killed. In China, it killed about 2% of the people, but those vast majority of those were people between the ages of 70 and 89 with underlying health issues.
And we should also state that that mortality rate is way, way overblown, because most of the cases, according to doctors, are undiagnosed or asymptomatic or very mild symptoms that are like a lower flu virus. So as a result, the actual mortality rate is going to be way, way lower than the 2% that has been put out there by the media, which 2% becomes meaningful because that's 1 in 50. You know, we know hundreds of people, so you start personalizing it. And the media is just manipulating us on this, right?
Well, I think so. And what it's done is it's roiled the markets. You know, the markets operate under three different emotions: greed, fear, and panic. So we've saw greed, we've seen years of greed here, and the markets were, I think, really overbought and primed for a correction. And this was the catalyst that has sent us so far into a correction in the U.S. U.S. economy remains as strong as I've ever seen it in my days on the planet as a cognizant human being. And we will recover from this, but it's going to do some major damage to the world economy in the interim. Fear, greed, and panic. As soon as the greed went away, here came the fear, and fear begets panic, and that's where we are right now in the markets.
Yeah, we have a financial pandemic here. Pandemic, there's a reason why pandemic and panic sound similar. Look, there have been diseases that have killed millions and millions of people almost out of the blue. The influenza epidemic of 1920, you know, millions of people killed. We're way, way advanced in terms of public health and in terms of medical technology. And the proof is there's probably 100 odd cases that have been diagnosed in the United States so far, two deaths. And again, they fall into the category of people with compromised immune systems.
Exactly.
So we put that out of the way. Let's look at the carnage. Really, the headline for last month could be Sea of Red, Mickey.
Well, it certainly ended up that way, but realize that we were setting throughout the month of February all-time highs on all the major U.S. markets day after day, week after week, and we can even go back and say month after month we've been doing this. The last week of the month, it was blood in the streets. The Dow closed at 25,410, down of 10%. That's in correction territory. S&P 500, 2954. It's down 8.4% on the month. NASDAQ, led by the FANGs, performed better, 85.67, down 6% on the month. And Russell 2000 Small Cap Index, down to 1476, 8.5% loss on the month. Those losses do not reflect the highs that occurred in the third week of February, of course.
And then we go to our lesser markets here, and, well, look at the carnage here.
Yeah, so Toronto Stock Exchange, 16,263, down 6%. That kind of surprises me, but because it is so commodities-oriented, and the Canadian oil patch is in a world of hurt. The Toronto Venture Exchange lost 15% over last week. It closed at 498, down 13% on the month. I would like to make a comment to those people that tend to conflate gold stocks with physical gold, and they do not equate. So we expect the Toronto Venture Exchange to participate in this fall, just like the major U.S. markets will.
Yeah, they always do, because look, when you have a panic in the market, when there's panic selling, then you are going to see the metal stocks get hammered just like everything else, because there's this rush for liquidity. Margin calls are being made, especially for the hedge funds. We'll talk more about that when we get to the metals. But emerging market, kind of like, yeah, it hit them, but not like everyone else.
Yeah, the emerging market index was at 1,006, down a little bit more than 5% on the month. That surprises me too, Kerry, with the difficulties in China. And this is going to significantly affect the Chinese economy for at least a half a year. And some people would argue previously that the Chinese economy was on the verge of a recession. So I'm once again a bit surprised that index did not fall further. And finally, the VIX just went crazy.
Yeah.
Volatility index, also known as the fear index.
Yes, for good reason.
Yeah. And so it was putzing around about in the mid teens most of the month, and it soared on Friday to above 40, and at one point during the day it was up to 48. So traders and speculators love volatility, but they're probably not loving this much volatility in a down market unless you had a bunch of short positions beforehand.
Yeah, or you were buying VIX, buying
there you go,
futures on the VIX or options on the VIX. Well, now we devolve to our metals complex here. Well, when you look at gold, pretty much nothing happened for the month, right?
Yeah, gold ended up basically flat on the month, but we got to remember on Wednesday of last week, it hit a seven-year high of $1,690 intraday, and it lost $90 on Friday. So we ended up at $1,585 for a $4 loss on the month, but this came from margin calls. There was safe haven demand for gold, but when people get margin calls and they got to liquidate the most liquid of their assets, that's generally gold. We saw this in the financial crisis where people liquidated their gold holdings to meet their margin calls, and I really think that's the reason that gold lost about $90 on between Wednesday and the close on Friday.
Oh, and silver is just in a world of pain.
Well, it was above $18 during the run-up on gold, but it was not, because it is not really the same sort of safe haven metal, it was lagging gold. It ended up 1658, 7.9% loss on the month.
Right, and then platinum and palladium, a tale of two noble metals, huh?
Well, it certainly is. Platinum actually went above $1,000 at one point during the month of February. Then it got knocked down. It closed at 862, down 10% on the month. Meanwhile, palladium is continuing to go exponential. It closed the month at 2475, up another 13%. But Kerry, it lost $300 on Friday. It was trading as high as 2770, and it ended up at 2475. So it actually a $295 loss on Friday. And this is what happens when markets go exponential and they get volatile and they have these spikes up and down like crazy.
Hey, and when we go back to just January 1st, when we did our yearly review, palladium was one of the best performers. It was up 53.5%. Last month, it was up 14%. I should say in January, it was up 14%. Mm-hmm. And it's still, with the loss in February, still up 13% for the month. Isn't that pretty amazing?
It is. It's a crazy market. And, you know, we're in supply deficit. So we'll see when it all ends. It will end at some point.
Yeah. So copper has taken a big hit, but didn't get much of a hit for the month.
No, it did not. It went from 254 to 251 for a 3 cent loss on the month. But copper had actually gotten as high as 264, about a 3 month high before all this debacle hit last week. So it went down quickly.
Okay. And talking about a sea of, okay, so when we're looking at our money rates, what's happened to the dollar, euro, and then the 10-year, well, I'll let you tell the story here, Mickey.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Luminex Resources, ticker symbol LR on the Toronto Venture and LUMIF on the OTC, is a member of Lumina Group, the Ross Beaty company that has returned nearly 10 to 1 to investors since its founding in 2004. It's currently advancing a portfolio of large-scale exploration properties in Ecuador with 3 key assets and 2 world-class partners, Anglo-American and BHP. With the decline in other sectors of its economy, Ecuador is aggressively nurturing its growing mining sector, and Luminex is a prime beneficiary of the new policy. If passed as prologue, investors should see outsized returns on the company's gold and copper holdings. For more info, go to LuminexResources.com and make sure you sign up to get the company's latest notifications. That's LuminexResources.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Okay, so the dollar had a very volatile month. It was actually pushing the upper 99 range about a week before all the debacle happened. It ended up at 98.18 for basically a 20 basis point loss, essentially flat month to month. The euro was as low as $1.08 at one time, and it ended up at 110 for a 0.6% loss on the month. Meanwhile, this is really crazy. The 10-year Treasury hit an all-time low on Friday of 1.13% for a 24% loss on the month, amidst rumors that the Fed's going to have to come in and do a half a point rate cut in March. And the market the yield curve is inverted once again. All-time low, once again, the 10-year Treasury. We've tracking on that since 1961, Gary, and the lowest I could find when I sorted through was 1.37%. So this is rarefied territory indeed.
Hey, and when you go back to 1961, remember, we were at least in name on the gold standard. So there really wasn't a big inflationary issue before Vietnam. So there wasn't a lot of inflation.
And I maybe misspoke, or you might have misunderstood a bit. Those lows of 1.37% were in 2016, 2015. And so in if memory serves, in 1961, the Fed rate was something about 3.4%.
And that probably was the natural rate of interest at that point before it became so manipulated by the Fed. Hey, just going back to currencies, when we look at the loonie, since we're here in Canada, we look at the Aussie dollar. I mean, these currencies have been decimated. The loonie is now under 75 cents.
Yeah, it's in the low 74s now.
Yeah, and the Aussie is at 65 or 6 cents.
Yeah, it's really gotten hit, which means the price of gold is at all-time record highs in every major currency in the world except the U.S. dollar.
Right, and then we go to your favorite non-currency currency.
Yeah, so that's Bitcoin, and you know, there in the beginning of the month there was, or middle month even, I saw people saying, comparing with Bitcoin with gold and promulgating the idea that Bitcoin was the real safe haven. Well, they got busted last week of the month. Bitcoin actually lost 14% on the month. It closed at 80.60. It is not a safe haven financial instrument.
Yeah, agreed. And look, when we look at it, it was poised to break through technical resistance at 11,500 roughly. It pulled back. It means probably in for a further decline there. So Let's go to our energy sector and continue our analysis of the sea of red.
Yeah, so black gold on the street, running down the street, running red, I suppose. WTI closed at 45.26, down 12% on the month. And this is so totally due to oversupply and lack of demand from China, the world's second largest oil consumer next to the U.S. and by far the world's largest importer of oil, normally well above 10 million barrels a day. Brent also fell. It actually was below $50 at one point. It closed at 50.52, down 11% on the month. Nat gas still in overabundance. It closed the month at $1.68, down almost 9% on the month. A lot of that has to do with a very warm winter in the northeast tier of states and lack of demand for nat gas for heating. And finally, uranium, flat, nothing going on. The Trump administration came out with a proposed budget during the month that proposes $1.3 billion to buy uranium, establish a national defense stockpile, something on the order of $150 million a year to buy U.S. produced, mined and produced uranium. It closed at $24.90, up 20 cents on the month.
A big yawn.
Yep.
All right. And finally, we go to our ratios, which really tell an interesting story on several fronts.
Craziness here. Gold silver ratio down, pushing 96 at 95.6 on Friday. That is extremely rarefied. I know at one point in 1939, it briefly hit 100, but there's probably less than a percent of the time since 1971 it's been that high. Platinum to gold at an all-time record low, busted way down from its previous all-time record of 0.59, closed that ratio at 0.54, and the platinum to palladium ratio is almost at a third at 0.35, and the previous monthly record was 0.44 last month. So basically, what that means, Kerry, is you can buy 1 ounce of palladium, you can buy 3 ounces of platinum for the same price. And finally, I highlighted our gold to WTI ratio. We've been doing this show now something on the order of 8 years, and are into our eighth year, and we have never seen a ratio of 35 as gold went soaring and WTI went falling.
So either gold is overpriced or WTI is underpriced, or maybe this is the new normal.
I don't really think it's going to be the new normal for very long. At some point we'll get through this, and there was panic in the oil markets, and we'd already had a wash in oil to begin with. So we'll work our way out of this at some point.
Yeah, so we've been doing this going on our ninth year, Mickey. We've never had anything like this before that I remember since we've been doing it, with record highs and amazing lows, these ratios all over the place. We see the cost of money now, the 10-year at 1.13, which is, they're almost giving the money away, which that shows safe haven buying for a currency that's doomed to the dustbin of history. It seems like a lot of people are going back into it anyways.
Well, it is the only currency, and it's, well, we've talked about this before, I think, and it's not good, but it is the best by far of a really bad lot. You know, Kerry, yeah. Most of the world has negative interest rates right now. So if you buy a bond in Germany, a 10-year bond, let's say, they're going to give you less money back after 10 years than you put in to start. And that makes no sense at all. So I think we were probably way overdue for a market correction. We'll see how deep this goes. It could be the beginning of a recession. But I'll tell you, if there's a worldwide recession, I want to live in the good old U.S. of A, because our economy continues to hum along.
Yeah, and if you don't believe what Mickey's saying, go try to hire hire a qualified person for any position in your company and see what walks in the door. I think then you will believe that things are pretty darn good. Maybe it's not the best economy ever in certain respects, but certainly in terms of employment, in our lifetimes, our collective lifetimes, I don't remember a job market ever being this good for newly graduating, useless college grads here, Mickey.
Send them to Starbucks to be baristas.
Hey, well, they do give you health insurance at Starbucks, but you have to be a full-time employee, and they're not hiring full-time employees.
Ah, there you go.
There you go. There's That's always a catch. Yep. There's always a catch 22. Well, anyways, send us your questions, your comments, your fears. You know, we're here. Our virtual couches are available for you to lie down and get therapy. The email address is kl@carrylutz.com. kl@carrylutz.com. Hey, check out Mickey's site. You know it well, mercenarygeologist.com. Your Twitter handle, Mickey, is @mercenarygeo.
Yes, sir.
And check out our site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. And you can sign up either on my site or Mickey's or both for your complimentary free newsletter. And while you're at it, check out the Twitter handle @CarrieLutz. Experimenting now, Mickey, with Instagram, but it's mainly for when I go to new restaurants and see appetizing dishes that I can take a picture of and share them with you. So we'll leave it at that. I have a feeling that this thing will calm down. Maybe prices will be lower across the board, but maybe we got a dose of correction in literally 4 days.
Well, it was quick. We've never seen one this quick before, but remind everybody to trade, to manage your money without emotion. And that's the only way to be smart about it.
And that's the key. And manage your life as emotionless as possible, certainly when you're making the big decisions, because you'll make better decisions. Emotions tend to distort and really interfere with your perceptions of reality. And that's why you need to keep a clear head, put the emotions on the back burner. It's the only way to be successful in life. Mickey, as always, thanks, and we'll see you next month.
Okay, thanks, Gary.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.